Okay. Matkilin, Shir Aleph. We are getting started with our Limud, the second parak of Bava Metzia, parak Shinaim Oksin, and even though there's a lot to, parak Ein Metziut, and even though there's a lot to discuss in the actual parak, we're barely going to scratch the surface of the Gemara today. God willing, we're going to spend time on how to read the Shaka Vatari in the Gemara, how to read Rashi. We're going to spend a little time on how to read Rashi today, and some of the Totsot. This is going to be more global and broad than we'll always have, just so that we get an idea, because our driving question really is, Mahu Yush? What is Yush? We talk about Yush, but what is it? How does it work? And so, what do we think? Do you want me to read? For today, I'm going to read through, just because there's not a lot of time. We started a little bit late, but we're going to get into a Seder. And so we're literally just reading the first two lines. The Gemara starts out and tells us, Elu Mitziyuch Ayishalov, Elu Chayav Lachris. These are the things that you might find that will belong to you. And why does it belong to you? And we'll talk about that in a moment. And these are the ones that you need to announce about. These are the ones that you need to tell people, hey, I found this, I need to return it. This is sort of the classic Hashavat Aveda situation. And then we go through the different instances that something belongs to you, meaning that you picked it up, and mazel tov, you get to have it. So frequently you'll have people walk over and say, hey, I found this $5 bill, and I guess I should give it to Tzedakah. So that makes no sense, because either it belongs to you, and put in your pocket, buy a soda. You don't need to give it to Tzedakah, or you need to return it, in which case, you giving it to Tzedakah is actually not a mitzvah, it's geneva. And so what we're going to try and figure out is, okay, when you find an object, why would you keep it or not keep it? That's part of the discussion, a big discussion in this parak. And let's just take a look at this very first Rashi. This first Rashi is going to be essential, because Rashi tells us, Eilu Metziut, so Matzah Perot Mefuzarin, and Rashi explains what does it mean, these Metziut? It is Mityaushu HaBalim Mehen, that the Balim, the owners, were Mityaish. I could Amar B'Gemara V'Hefkerhen, that they are, now what's Rashi telling us? That they are, the Baalim were Nityaish, that they had Yush, they despaired in English, and now it is Hefker.
We said yesterday it's not Hefker.
Why is it not Hefker?
That was the Maskana of the Nitivot
HaMishpat. So the Nitivot HaMishpat and the Chazon Ish, I didn't give you the Chazon Ish, because the Chazon Ish is harder to read, as if the Nesivos was so easy, but you guys requested to jump in there. We might not spend that much time on Achronim looking inside. I might just kind of share those with you outside.
I really like it. I think it would be good.
Your Hebrew's back then.
No, they Yidin was reading most of it.
Okay, Mila. And so the discussion is, what when we talk about Metziut and we talk about Yush, are Yush and Hefka the same thing? Is Hefka and Yush the same thing? How are these things connected? And so before we jump into the discussion in the Achronim, the Ritva points out, Ritva is one amongst my favorite Rishonim to look at on a constant basis, and I'm frequently doing so. We have a number of Ritvas here, and this is on my own copy that anyone's welcome to. It's got all the fun footnotes at the bottom. Thank you, Mosar Harav Kook. And what the Ritva points out is, he makes a diuk in our Gemara here, and he says, Eilu Metziut Shelo, V'Eilu Chayav L'Hakris. So those are two separate clauses. In general, we assume that the Mishnah is going to have a yes and a no. This is two different things. What it seemingly should say is Eilu Metziut Shelo and Eilu Metziut She'enu, or, and more likely, Eilu Metziut She'chayav L'Hakris and Eilu Metziut She'enu Chayav L'Hakris. That would be a much more typical Mishnah language. From the fact that it's atypical, that it's different, that must mean that there's something to learn, that there's something that we should know. And what the Ritva tells us is that it's Metziut Shelo as opposed to that you don't need to announce, because don't need to announce is not as extreme. It's not as belate that it belongs to you. What's the example? The Ritva says, if someone drops something, let's say I'm walking down this path and I drop something, I feel a dropper in my hand, and then Gemara assumes that I was now mitzayish, that now I've given up a hoop because I lost it.
And you kept walking.
And yeah, I kept walking to the bayit, and then there were two people behind me, two kosher edim, and they say, Rabbi Zucker, you dropped your pen. We'll assume a very expensive pen, because it has to be. I happen to love these pens. These are great pens. I would be very sad if I lost this.
Two edim.
Yeah, and so if I drop, very good. And so I walk out of the toda. And so I drop. By the way, one of the nafka mina in this whole discussion is: are you fulfilling a mitzvah of Hashavat Aveda, or are you just are you picking up something that's hefker and giving it to someone else, and good for them that they got it, but it didn't really belong to them anymore? I touch the tape, but it's Hashavat Shishim Lachicha only applies if I still own it. But if I don't own it anymore, then that's part of this discussion.
If you don't own it, if you don't own it anymore, so how would there be any way to fulfill the mitzvah?
At Tatzadik. And so if you find something, it doesn't belong to me anymore, it doesn't belong to anyone anymore, there's no mitzvah of Hashem Tishrim L'Achicha. That's goof of the discussion that we're having. That's why this matters.
But until there's engaged, it's still in his yeshiva.
Hold on. We're going to get to that. We will get to that. Al titag. Don't be a fish. And so the Ritzvah says that if there are two kosher Edom who see a Rezukah, you drop this pen, if Yush means that it's out of my possession, then lo mishana, it belongs to anyone now. You don't have to return it. And what the Ritzvah is saying is that even though there are two Edom that I dropped it, it's not mine because I'm Yush, and I don't have possession over it anymore. You can give it back to me if you want to. If you don't care about the pen, and I do care about the pen, maybe you'll be a nice person and give it to me, but it doesn't belong to me anymore. That's what the Ritzvah is telling us. And so that's kind of the frame in the world of Rishonim, that Rashi told us that there's a connection between Yush and Hefker. And what the Ritzvah is telling us is that once I've been Mitzayish, then it's not mine at all.
I think Rashi is saying something even bolder than it's like Hefker. He's saying the Hefker here. That it's literally
that.
That's what I'm
saying. So it's very interesting, and this is really what the Acharonim point out. And it's really all based off a Gemara in Baba Kama that we didn't look at, but Tosfos in Baba Kama on Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph Dibur Matkal Kevan, where Tosfos says that Yush doesn't mean Hefker. And whereas Rashi was very clear, Rashi was explicit in saying, by the way, if I use a word that we don't know, let me know. I might end up saying things in Hebrew that make no sense. You can tell me that also. I assume that half the time I speak Hebrew, it doesn't make any sense here, and that all the Israelis are so nice that they just like kind of nod their heads. And so Tosfot is telling us that Yush doesn't mean Hefker. What it means is that if someone steals something, someone gets something in a prohibited manner, the Nativa quoted this, if someone took it, they stole it. Stole is not the best example. Someone gets it in an inappropriate way, it doesn't matter that the owner was Midyayish, the person who owns it now still doesn't own it because Yush is not a complete Hefkerut. That's what the Tosfos is telling us. And now the Acharonim discuss what does that mean? What does that Tosfos mean? I'm really willing to see it from two different perspectives, from the Netivat HaMishpat, and other people back him up, including the Ketzot HaKoshen. The Ketzot and the Netivot are often arguing, so when they make Shalom, we really have to enjoy it and appreciate it.
Often they're arguing like Ramban.
Yeah.
Wow. So if they agree, it's like...
Yeah. I'll interrupt for a story because it's a good story. Somebody once asked the Chafetz Chaim why Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai disagree so often. And the Chafetz Chaim sat there for a few minutes, thinking. We know that he was going through Kol Torkul, all of Shas in his mind. And he said, they agree more than they disagree. So I don't know how you figure that out. But you're the Chafetz Chaim, you're the God of Ador, you know Kol Torkula, then. Apparently, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai agree more than disagree. Without question, the Acharonim, the Tivot HaMishpat, and the Tivot agree more than disagree. But we like to pinpoint the disagreements.
Like any Rav, there's more in common than not in common.
So much more. But we like to focus on the... in learning, it's good to focus on the nuances because it gives us greater understanding of the Emet. But we love focusing on the nuances, unfortunately. And so what are the Tivot HaMishpat, again, based off of Tosfot, is commenting and telling on us what he thinks. What does it mean? What's the connection between Yush and Hefker? This is the right page. This is the right page. Haha, got it. Let's see if we can read this inside because we do have a small amount of time. This is the Intimidate Mishpat on Kufet Samachet. I gave you guys more copies in case you need it, but Kufet Samachet. Kufet Samachet, you're right, not Samach. Kufet Samachet. We're about six lines up. He says, "Lachen nira l'fi ani yotaiti." According to my humble opinion, the bezech yuluk ben yush lehefker. Here's what the Tivo thinks is the difference between the two.
Where are we?
Six lines up after the word lachen.
No, six lines from the bottom.
Yeah, sorry. Matzata and he says, "Lachen nira l'fi ani yotaiti." Therefore, I see according to my humble opinion. This is a distinction between the two. That there's a machlok between these two Tanoim, or Rabbi Yossi and the rabbis in Nedarim. that the Rabbi Yossi Savar, it's a hefker kimatana. That hefker is like a gift. Ma matana ad the atil reshut zocha. Av hefker ad the atil reshut zocha. Until it arrives in your domain. In your domain, your zocha. Vihine after kaimalon behefker to have a hefker.
According to Rabbi Yossi, there's no such thing as a concept of the space of hefker.
Well, he assumes that hefker doesn't mean ownerless. Hefker is a means toward acquisition.
Yeah, it's not a status of it can't be a status of something.
I think he says it explicitly that there's an efsharut of kinyan. That now this pen that's sitting on a table isn't exclusive. Right now, if any of you pick up this pen, my response is going to be, there's my pen. But if something is hefker, it's sitting on the table, and anyone can pick it up, anyone can acquire it. That's what the Nitzvot is telling us. That hefker means that if anyone has the possibility to take ownership, so to kaimelon, behefker, to have a hefker, afalgab, to atilu reshut, zocha, that even though it's not necessarily in someone's reshut, it has the possibility of zechia, the afilu who ba'atzmo sarach lakser v'lazakobo. And even if I want it myself, even if I want to take it back, I need to be zocher to it. I need to find some way to take it. It's not just naturally inherently mine.
So a matana needs to enter somebody else's place for it to be acquired?
You can acquire on their behalf. That's like the classic bar mitzvah.
Oh, okay, fine.
But
wait, so what? In whose reshut would Rabbi Yose say that, let's say, like a produce that grew on its own, like that doesn't belong to anyone?
The peyrot that grew on their own?
Yeah,
they're hefker. That's unlikely. In all likelihood, if you're encountering peyrot that grows,
let's say if there's branches growing out into a reshut,
that's a whole separate. That's a discussion in the Gemara. If something grows in my reshut and goes and grows into someone else's reshut, to whom does it belong? Does it follow the root? Does it follow the peyrot?
What I remember is that if it's in the reshut, then you can take
it. Given, no.
It's a lot of places. In Gittin, for Kenyanim of the Get, it comes up. That's true. But let's just do a little more. The Komakom B'yush. So he said that Hefker means it's got the Efsharut L'Zchia. And Mikomakom B'yush, Nirete Lomahani Ad Ati L'Shut Zocha. That Yush, the Yush only really starts when someone else has taken it, someone else has picked it up. V'im Nityash Me'aveda V'Kala HaYush Kodim D'Ati L'Yad HaZocha. Ain't our glass to the Vakopo. If I gave up hope, if I despaired, which is the right translation of Yush, from my lost object, and then my Yush went away, Kala Yush, it ran out before someone else, as someone else got it. Ain't our glass to the Vakopo. Rak kevin shirau tekev Vakopo. In shum adam yachol Vakopo shuv, and no one else can get it. Meaning that when in the world of Hefker, what. Now someone else can acquire it. In the world of Yush, it never really left my reshut. It never really left ownership, and I can reacquire it. We're going to talk about the Chazon Ish, and then we'll clarify the nafka mita between the two. Hopefully we have enough time. So that's what we saw in the Nitivan HaMishpat, and we'll look at it again. We'll take questions on it in a moment. But the Chazon Ish is telling us, and this is Baba Kama Simon Yud Chet Sif Aleph, that Yush mamash causes the item to leave the reshut of the Baal. Meaning that I once owned this, and once I was mityash, now I can't get it back. If I try to get it back, it's not mine anymore. And so according to the Chazon Ish, what's the difference between hefker and yush? Hefker, I'm actively making it, saying this is hefker, and now putting it on the table, now it's gone. I have to be there, I have to do it. Whereas yush is happening bal korcho. It's happening against my will to some extent. That I'm walking, I realize that something fell out of my pocket. Oh, nebuch, I lost it. And I wasn't doing anything per se. If I drop something out of my pocket, we don't call that yush, we call that hefker. I took an active role, whereas yush is always going to be passive. Move on. Okay. I'll say it one more time, because which one of these is going to fit into the ritzvah? Which one do we think fits into the ritzvah? That Lechal Zunish is telling us that hefker is active, I have to actively get rid of it, whereas yush is something that if it already happened, then to some extent after the fact, that now l'mafrei, I'm saying, oh, nebuch, I lost it, I'm mityayish, and now I lose it. You don't agree with the Chazon Ish, that's totally fine. You wouldn't be the first person. You probably would be the smallest person, but that's okay.
Because at the end of the day, yosh is also a state of mind that you can choose to not accept upon yourself.
So, yosh shalom midat is a conversation that will come up very, very soon. So, ulai. one additional point that some of the Achronim make is that Yush is something that's out of your possession, which kind of fits into what the Chazon Ish are telling us, that it once it's out of your possession, and then whereas Hefker has to be in your possession to make it ownerless. Mm-hmm. That Yush, you know, somewhere along the road, I dropped it. Jerome, guys, you helped me find my walkie-talkie last week.
Yeah.
So I only realized I lost my walkie-talkie many, many, many meters away, and so it was out of my possession. I wanted to be mafkir my walkie-talkie, which I can't do because I don't own it, but okay.
But you could have to be because you asked us to help you look for it.
You are correct. Also, like, it was still on our property. I have a lot of details there. We can use that as a test case for future sukkot. But it's not active versus passive. It's against my will or not against my will.
Is it considered as camp?
This whole camp is our issue, if you will.
But there's an earth around it.
Yeah, we made the earth. So I will unpack that specific case a little more, just to illustrate a little bit further. Before I have to run and go, we have to run and go teach Torah to little ones. Ulai, we could suggest the nafkamina between the Nitzivot Devot Hamishpat and the Chazon Ish is that if an item isn't taken, can me as the owner reclaim it? For example, if I leave my pen, again, pen's our favorite object, leave my pen, you know, in the drawer of the bima in the outdoor Beit Knesset. I forget where it is. I put it there. I have a really good idea. I do this all the time. I like put things and like, oh, this is a great spot. And then I forget how great of a spot it was. It was so good. No one's going to find it, including me. So I forget about it. I'm like, oh, Nebuch, I lost my pen in my Asot. I forgot that it was in the drawer. And so now I walked away. Tefillah ended and I'm sitting at lunch and I've forgotten about it. And so I'm mitjayish because I realize I don't have my pen anymore. However, then at some point in the afternoon, I go, oh, I remember where I put my pen. I put my pen in the drawer. That was a great hiding spot. I'm so proud of myself. And so now, let's say it's 4 o'clock. Now I remembered that it was mine. And I put my pen in the drawer. Great. And then as I'm walking to shul at 7:15, I see someone open the drawer, take the pen out and start using it. So am I allowed to walk over to that person and say, hey, that's my pen? Now, practically, socially, I think you can do that. Fine. But la halacha, am I allowed to say, hey, that's my pen, give it back to me? Because at 4 o'clock, at lunchtime, I was with Yaish. At 4 o'clock, I had dot that, no, I'm removing my yush. I know where it is. I want to go get it back. It's just not in my hands right now. But then someone else picks it up.
I think either case, it's not... It's like there's a hicker that you put it in the drawer, because that's not usually... You could say someone lost it if it fell out of his pocket, but if you put it in the drawer, like, if it...
The receiver clearly says you can take it back. That's, like, very clear. And I think, according to the Chazon Ish, no. Partially because he said it might be an afterbeat between the two.
All right, so you're cheating a little bit, but that's okay. Right, so we have three possibilities. If I left the pen in the morning, if the pen was taken before lunchtime... When I didn't know where it was, I didn't even realize that it was gone. There was a heter zchiyah that now whoever has that pen owns it. I would argue that pens in a shul are kind of half great. And that drawer has like tons of stuff in it. But I hear your point that maybe it has a level of simon that's we're going to get too soon. So that's option number one, numero uno. We're going to learn a third language.
Also, it's because it's not just because it's in a drawer, it's because you did hanacha in a specific place.
Okay, I hear. I think what often happens is that pens, like before Shabbat, one of the things that Gabbaim do is they walk around the shul gathering all the pens that got left there and just drop them somewhere. But so in my mind, that was a hefker location. Ulai, we could say the mitzvah, and depending on the shul, is different. That's fair. You know, in your personal shtender, it's probably not hefker.
Yeah.
Fine. So the option number one is the pen was taken before lunchtime. Before I would mean yaish. I don't remember where it was. Oh, sorry, before 4 o'clock. I don't remember where it was. Then there's a hetzeskliya, I can't have it back, it exists for someone else. If I had taken the pen when I remembered at 4 o'clock, then it's mine, but that's almost irrelevant because if it was Hefker, when I realized I lost it, then anyone could pick it up. I could pick it up, you could pick it up, or you could pick it up, Lomashena. The third option is really the significant one, that at 4 o'clock, when I realized that I left my pen in the Beit Knesset, and I said, oh, I'm planning on going to get it again, can I be zoka to the object that once belonged to me, that was once in my possession, from afar, for not actually holding it?
And not seeing it.
So according to the Nitzivot HaMishpat, Gideon's right, then it's mine. It never really left my possession, because the Nitzivot HaMishpat says that there's a heter zechiyah, that someone else could acquire it, but unless someone doesn't, until someone comes along and takes it, it really still belongs to me. And so now, in my mind, I can say this still belongs to me. No one's allowed to go into my bunk and take my shorts out of my bunkhouse. They belong to me. I wasn't made Yahish from them.
There's the potential for problems here, though. Because if I, like, make a Kinyan on the pen before you come back, and then I'm just like, this is also a good hiding spot. I'm going to keep it here. And if you come back and you see me picking it up again later in the day, now realizing that's my second time, then we're going to have a problem.
Ula, and then when we go to the Beit Din for this very important pen, then there would be a timeline. And they would say, okay, at 12 o'clock, Rabbi Zucker was very forgetful and lost the pen. At 4 o'clock, he realized, Gido, what time did you pick up the pen?
It was a regular time or 10?
Wait.
Probably to whomever's holding it, I would assume.
Fine.
Quite literally, Hamotzi Mechavero. All right, so that's what the Mishnah Mishpah was saying, that I never left my possession. It was really belonged to me until someone came along to take it. Whereas the Chazon Ish is going to say, no, it's no longer mine. I was made Yahish, and now it has left my possession. And the only way for me to reacquire this pen is to go acquire it the same way that Avi is going to acquire it. Just like Avi has to walk up and pick the pen up in order to take it, so too I have to pick it up and take it. That's going to be the nafka mina between the Netivim Mishpat and the Chazon Ish. And at this time, we're going to wrap up. This was a little shorter than usual, but just a quick recap. We were introduced to this idea that there are Metziot Shelo and Metziot Shechayav L'Hachriz. What does it mean that it's Shelo, that there's a nuance in, does it belong to you, does it not belong to you? Well, is it Hefker, is it Yush? And what's the difference between Hefker and Yush? We really had Rashi makes it sound like it's the same thing, although Rabbi Shmuel Rozovsky would argue that it's not. Rashi's just explaining to us, this is an addition, not a recap, that he's only pointing out the function's the same. Both of them have a heter chia, someone else can take it. But we saw from the Ritzvah that I was Majayish, and so I can't get it back, which sounds a lot like what the Chazon Ish told us, that once you're Majayish, it leaves your possession, and unless you're physically picking it, and then you have the same chance of getting as anyone else in the world. Whereas the Netivah Mishpat really has a big difference between Yush and Hefker. Hefker belongs to anyone, whereas Yush, it's really mine until it's not mine anymore. That's how we're going to say it. Okay?
One more thing, like I just thought now. Like maybe the...